Hello, everybody around the world. You're on the Mike and Abe show, and it's getting closer to Christmas. Today is December 17th. It's a Sunday here in the United States. Okay, and Mike, Mike is on the line, and Abe is talking to you right now. Mike.
Mike is on the line.
Yeah,
Mike. And also want to wish in the words of Sammy Davis Jr., a happy Hanukkah, everybody out there listening.
You know, Sammy Davis, this coming
from a goy.
Yeah, Sammy Davis Jr. was Jewish, okay?
Was Jewish?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Okay, so he says. Okay, so he said. Okay. This is not of the utmost importance, but tell me, Mike, what is of the utmost importance?
Well, let's just jump right into it. And again, happy holidays, all the people out there. It's Christmas in New York. Trees up in Rockefeller Center, everything rocking and rolling. I got to jump right into the whole handicap van fiasco, which has been targeted at the yellow cab. All right, everybody in the for-hire business and taxi business apparently is doing whatever they want in. The taxi commission decided, and I'm going to use this word, I don't care. They decided to saddle the yellow cab business with this farcocta handicap van deal. And here's what I saw last night in front of the Time Warner Center. And it was kind of like telling as far as exactly the nectar of what the problem is with this handicap van deal right now. I had changed my taxi. I went from driving an NV200 Toyota van, which is kind of like the van that Bloomberg championed when he was mayor in what seems like 1,000 years ago. Like
okay, now the NV200, is that an accessible van?
No, this one was not. This one was just a regular NV200
van
in front of me.
Okay, continue. All right, just
let me finish. Yeah. I know what you're saying, but
just for the purpose of people that don't understand, okay?
You know, I'll bring them up to speed. Don't worry.
Okay, all right.
I'm sitting in front of the Time Warner Center, and a guy in front of me, or not, oh, I'm strike that. A woman in front of me is driving an NV200 van, which is not wheelchair accessible, okay? It's just a regular NV200 van with the solid partition in the door that slides and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I'm now driving a Toyota Prius with a private owner. Now, I'm 6'3", 250, and I didn't dream I could fit into a Prius, but I am fitting in nicely into a Prius. And you know the guy. He's a friend of ours. He advertises sometimes on the site.
Yeah,
great
okay.
Guy. He's in Manhattan.
Okay, I know who you mean.
All right, so now I'm getting 40 miles a gallon, and I'm getting the cab on the streets of Manhattan at the height of the rush hour with no commute. So that's fantastic for me. It's showing up in my pocket like you have no idea. But anyway, I'm in front of the Time Warner Center, and a guy comes out. God bless his soul. He's coming out in a wheelchair with his friend. His friend, a woman, is wheeling her. To the van, because the van is first on line in front of me. He has no legs, and he's a young guy. Either it was an accident or diabetes or something, and he's in a wheelchair. Now the woman gets out of the van, and this poor woman, she's got to be in her 50s, and she's not exactly in the best of health herself. She's got to be in her 50s, and she's limping, and she looks like she's got a couple of medical problems herself. And she has to come over and help this guy in the wheelchair. And the guy in the wheelchair apparently has done this before, where he jumps out of the wheelchair and sits on the floor of the van, then pulls himself up onto the seat. And the woman is helping the other woman who was pushing him put the wheelchair in the back and blah, blah, blah. And I'm saying to myself, where is the publicity from the taxi commission, from the city of New York, to call 311 to let these people know there are wheelchair accessible vans on the street at their beck and call that could be there with a driver who is physically able to do this a lot better, and with a van that is constructed to do this a lot better. So apparently this is just kicking the can down the road with politics. Wheelchair van program, where they forced put an economic gun to the head of many medallion owners to buy wheelchair accessible vans for the drivers. And I remember when this all started at the taxi commission, I saw there was like 20 or 30 people in wheelchairs being wheeled in by, and I'd like to know who set this whole thing up, who organized them to be wheeled in, because I have my suspicions that it wasn't exactly organic, and I'd love to know if anybody was making a buck off the whole fiasco. But anyway, they can come in to the taxi commission hearing room, say, with signs that say, taxis for all, taxis for all, hollering about taxis for all. And I was personally offended because, man, I'm out there every day helping people in wheelchairs, helping blind people with wet dogs, seeing eye dogs in the rain, helping people right and left. And there was no mention of that. There's no mention about me and guys like you who did it for years, mm-hmm. helping the handicapped. And it was framed for a political soundbite that the cabbies are horrible, they don't help the handicapped, and all this nonsense. And apparently, they BS their way into forcing thousands of medallion owners to buy wheelchair vans. And now, A, where are the calls for the wheelchair vans? B, where is the advertising from the taxi commission, which brings in 30 cents per ride from everybody to fund this program? And now they're talking about the FHV community. They want to give them X amount of calls. They want to force them to say, listen, where are the rides? Where is the statistics? How many wheelchair rides are now needed for the 100,000 vehicles that are under the Taxi Limousine Commission? I mean, are you going to tell a cab driver he has to buy a van? I mean, hypothetically speaking, I mean, if there's X amount of rides, we could send wheelchair vans, if we had 3,000 or 4,000 of what I'm seeing. You don't need tens of thousands of wheelchair vans if you only need like maybe 3,000 or 4,000 vans per day to do the business, because you also have existing wheelchair vans that are picking up people and existing accessorized cars. So last night, I mean, it was very telling because I saw the exact argument that I've been screaming about. And the most important thing for me is that cab drivers don't have to do this. I mean, a lot of cab drivers, it's a hot economy. They'll just walk away from this deal altogether, which is happening. And instead of rewarding properly people who are going to pick up the handicapped, they've instead chosen to politically demonize cab drivers, in my opinion. And like I said, another situation is the woman driving that van last night. She didn't look like she was physically able to help a guy with no legs coming out of a wheelchair. God forbid he slipped and fell. What's she going to do? She's going to pick him up and break her back? So this is just a complete fiasco. And I don't know what they're doing at the taxi commission, but... like I said, nothing. There's no publicity. There's no posters in doctors' offices that I know of. There's no ads on the radio that I hear. And it's about high time that some people at the city council who are due to get reelected next year step up, because some people are safely tucked away politically for a few years, and that's a damn shame, because I don't know what they're going to do besides get the free lunch at City Hall buffet. But we have to start helping people who... you know, need help. The handicapped community needs help. But right now, it's a complete disaster. And Abe, you know people who are terrified of having to be forced to buy this new van, correct?
Yes. And let me just say this. I can sum it up in like a couple of sentences here. Okay. And that is the failure of the authority, TLC, to look into the future and create, you know, and do a survey or a study, right, of how many vans are needed, such as they never did a study of how many FHVs were needed when they created the FHVs. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, oh yeah.
Okay. And it only would have made perfect sense that, you know, the FHVs were created out of gypsy cars and those that wanted to become, and those from that were in the radio groups, okay, back in the mm-hmm. 1980s, okay, so right. there were radio groups, you know, that we remember, you know, Ding-a-ling, Interboro, there was a six or seven
Minutemen.
Or eight Minutemen, yeah. There was six right. or seven or eight radio groups, and Ed Koch wanted to the general public was, they were complaining that they couldn't get a taxi during rush hour because, you know, half of them were on radio call. Okay.
Yeah.
So rather than you know, and look, so there's a lot of blame to go around here. Okay, I'm not saying it's totally the government's fault, but they created black cars out of the radio groups. Okay, saying, mm-hmm. well, if we can't put more medallions on the street, which was, you know, there was a backlash from the medallion industry that Ed Koch wanted to put more medallions on the street, you know, so that mm-hmm. there would be enough for everybody. Okay, but instead, you know, getting friction from the medallion industry, okay, he decided to put radio cars in black cars. Okay, the radio groups equipment in black cars, saying they don't need a medallion if they're doing for hire work prearranged. Okay, and a radio call was deemed as being prearranged. Okay, and then there were all these gypsy cabs running around in Upper Manhattan and Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx. Okay, and they were allowed to join radio groups and be legal as livery cars, okay? But, right. you know, but at that time there was, and still today, there was a restriction on the number of yellow taxis that could be on the street from the Hess Act that was created in 1937, mm-hmm. saying that, you know, we must limit the number of vehicles for hire, which at the time was only yellow taxis, or they weren't even yellow at the time, but they were medallion taxis. Okay, mm-hmm. so it would have only made sense in the 1980s when they created the black cars and the livery cars that they should do some sort of survey to determine how many are actually needed. Okay, and they correct. And they failed to mm-hmm. do that, and they still fail to do that today. Okay, which is what right. which
and
is
the, right. Let me just jump in.
Yeah.
And the irony is, at the time when the industry was listening to the city and said, "Okay, well, how many medallions do you want to put on the street? You want to put on like 400, 800?" And the city stepped in and said, "Oh no, we put on 800 more taxi medallions. We have to have a." Study from the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, to make sure the air will stay clean because we don't want to pollute the air. Fast forward to today when the present regime, the big, you know, keep the planet green, save the planet crew,
mm-hmm.
Put 80,000 Uber cars, way, shape, or form on the street. I don't know if it's 80,000, probably like 50, at least 50,000 Uber cars on the street. Squashed into Manhattan.
Right.
So where was the EPA for that? Where was the big Environmental Protection
Agency? It's not written into the law. Only the yellow cabs are written into the law, so I understand. And I just want to say it was this mistake that the city made not to limit the number of FHVs back in the 1980s is exactly what Uber took advantage of, okay? They said, right. "Well, uh-huh. if we put our app in yellow cabs, they'll be limited, and the amount of money we could make will be limited. So let's just put as many." And I think Mike Bloomberg had something to do with this. This was part of his plan when he said, yeah. "I'm going to destroy your effing industry." Okay, he knew. You know, he knew the game. He knew the game. He knew the rules. He knew everything, and what he meant by "I'm just going to destroy your effing industry" is I'm going to put apps in as many cars as we could possibly get out there. Okay.
Right.
And
but the insane thing is that our industry, the yellow cab, God bless us, it still survives. I mean, we can take a punch. That's one thing about us. We can take a punch.
Yeah.
But how much punching are we going to be getting? And like right now, I saw last night, and then I was looking at this again. Jumping back to the woman I was talking about, and again, she was the lady cab driver had to be in her 50s, and she's right now has a responsibility. If a guy falls out of a wheelchair in the snow and in the cold, what's she going to do? I mean, what about the liability of this woman?
Well,
getting in the middle of
she'll have to call the police or something like that happens. Okay, if she's
or an ambulance.
And I'll say this, Mike. You know, as many times as I've helped people with wheelchairs get into my taxi that could barely fit the wheelchair, vehicle, you know, the wheelchair itself,
right,
you know, into the trunk of the car. I used to carry bungee cords so that if I had to put a wheelchair in my trunk, I could use the bungee cord to keep the trunk from moving, from you know, right, which couldn't close, okay? But I always was able to get it done, okay? And, you know, this is 20 years ago, you know, going back, I mean, you know, I stopped driving. It's now over 5 years, okay? But till the day I finished driving, you know, I never refused a wheelchair, okay? And one
no,
way...
I mean, right. I feel like I feel obligated to do it. It's
well, one way or another, I was able to accommodate these people, okay? You know, but they didn't have those motorized wheelchairs in those days. They were just plain in wheelchairs, okay? And, you know, regular old wheelchairs, which folded up in many cases, okay? You know, but now they have these motorized wheelchairs where they could actually ride down the street faster than a car in the traffic.
Well, this is another thing.
Yeah,
hold on. You get people with a lot of motorized wheelchairs, you know.
Yeah,
I'm almost on the verge of getting one myself. It's like, wow, I can do 30 miles an hour in a motorized wheelchair in a bike lane. What the hell am I riding in a cab for?
I know, but the point I'm trying to make is that even me now, who could easily drive a taxi, still at my old age of I'll soon be 70. Okay. And as somebody said to me yesterday, well, 70 is the new 40. Taking looking at me. Okay, because I still have all my parts and they're all working well. Okay,
you're still spry.
Yeah, right.
You're a good guy.
Exactly.
In good shape.
But the thing is, you know, I at some point would have trouble, you know, helping a person with a wheelchair. Okay, I mean, you know, when I was driving, you know, in the last few years I was driving and I was sitting in the seat for 10 out of 12 hours a day. Okay, right. You know, I would get out of the car and I could hardly walk for the first 50 steps. Okay,
exactly.
Right, but then suddenly my body would kick in, and I do want to say that nowadays I do walk on the treadmill every morning. Okay, so
that's good.
You know, that keeps me in good shape. I mean, if you are driving a taxi, you should get exercise. You got to get exercise. Okay, you can't just
sit in
that car.
Right.
All right.
You gotta at least get that blood back in the legs. It's you know, it's very very important to just at least do some like twists or squats or just shake your legs or your arms or something to get that blood in. I'll tell you one thing. I told this story like earlier in the Mike and Abe history here, but again, I threw out my back once for about a week, helping a guy into the cab who I lifted out of a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. It was a little skinny guy in a wheelchair. He was a young guy, like in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Penn Station. I lifted him out of a wheelchair. And all of a sudden, as I'm lifting, he goes, oh, yeah, well, most cab drivers just, he says, most cab drivers just cradle me in the arms and put me in the back seat. I said, okay. So I cradled him in my arms. The guy weighed a ton. And when I finally put him down, I felt like a little tweak in my back. I said, oh, my God. I said, dude, how come you weigh so much? I said, oh, it's the titanium rods. Like titanium rods. So apparently his femurs and his hips and his lower back were loaded with titanium metal rods to stabilize his spine and stuff, which added another 80 or 90 pounds to his weight, which would have been nice of him to tell me earlier in the lifting process. And I did, in fact, tweak my lower back where I thought I injured it permanently, but thank God it cleared up. But I mean, I'm sure many drivers have had situations helping people with wheelchairs where they've hurt themselves helping people with wheelchairs because they're not trained to do this. And there are some drivers who are like young bucks. They're strong, they're powerful. And I say let the young guys get compensated. I mean, if you want to start paying people for physical labor, you want to have someone in shape who's able to lift 80 or 100 pounds just in general. Mm-hmm. I know with the sanitation department, you don't get the job. And the fire department, you don't get the job unless you can lift 100 pounds because you may have to drag somebody out of a building one day. Especially the fire department. You get to drag a 100-pound bag up a flight of stairs, I think, and that's supposed to be like the minimum weight. You might have to say, okay, listen, with the cab drivers, if you can't physically drag, because you got 80-year-old cab drivers. You get 70-year-old cab drivers. How are they going to help someone if there's a situation where somebody's in a wheelchair and you're helping the person in the wheelchair, they fall out of a wheelchair, God forbid, they're going to be suing everybody. All right? And the taxi commissioner is going to hide under the table. That's what they're going to do.
Well, you know, something. There's really no easy answer to this, but the taxi drivers in the city of New York, okay, all of the FHV drivers, you know, that chauffeur people around, either in a yellow cab or other, right, should be considered a force, okay?
Yes.
Such as the U.S. Army, the Marines, and these people in those forces are selected by what they can do, okay? You know, like I could never be a Green Beret, okay?
I think you could do that.
No, I don't think so. I could never be a Navy SEAL, okay? But I could drive a taxi, okay?
Right.
When I was in the U.S. Army, I could chauffeur my company commander around, which I did, okay?
Oh, you find that you were a cab driver?
No, that was my first experience as a cab driver. When he tried to tell me that I should reenlist, I told him, why should I do this for free when I can go to New York and get paid? I said to him,
there you go.
You know,
God bless America.
Yeah, right. You know, but I'm saying that certain taxi drivers should be selected to do these jobs. Okay.
Right.
Maybe a group of couple of hundred. Is there over 50, 60, 70,000 people that are driving for hire vehicles? Certainly, there is a group of drivers that are physically able to do this job, and they should be selected and paid an extra amount of money, okay, through the TIF, okay?
Sure.
Okay, not that they should charge the customers more, okay? They should be paid an extra amount of money just to do these jobs. And perhaps if the money was enough, you get these people to volunteer, okay?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Just pay them more money.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's all about money. Nobody drives a cab because they like driving. All right? I haven't met anybody that does. Okay? They're doing it for the money.
Right. Well, this is the whole thing I said with this whole... this demonstration at the taxi committee, the taxis for all crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, like I said, I feel bad for them because they are in wheelchairs. They need help. But don't demonize me. Don't make me feel like a monster by saying I'm not helping when all of a sudden I see everybody getting paid off the project. You get people selling vans. You get people selling $30,000 converted vans, which are now $60,000. Somebody in that extra $30,000, I would guess, is making a profit, okay? So all I know is don't make me out to be a bad guy because I'm not working for free.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put money in my pocket, you want to throw some money at me to do a little bit extra, fine. I don't see anybody working for the city doing a little bit extra for nothing. I don't see people working on holidays and Sundays and shoveling snow working for the city doing it for free, and like I said, also that, you know, like I said, the demonization of the worker is a disgusting management tactic, and we're on the front lines of that. I mean, we as cab drivers see what happens when we don't have a solid association. We've had a few fly-by-night deals here and there, but let's jump into another thing. What, in your years of driving a cab, have you ever seen a solid association to help cab drivers in their fight for survival?
Well, I think the closest thing to that is the Taxi Workers Alliance. Okay,
they had a pretty good run for a few years, right?
Yeah, but they're not dead. You know, they're still around, and it's funny you bring that up because just this week they had a meeting. I heard this through the grapevine. Okay, and they're calling for a cap on FHVs. And the
Thank
TLC
God.
Should establish standards for the FHV driver income. I think they should add the yellows to that, all driver income, okay? And they say FHV should not charge less than yellows, that there should be a standard rate, I guess, for all the for hire vehicles, okay? And
interesting.
And the FHV should... Passengers should pay the sales tax on the FHV, so they're not paying the MTA tax, okay? And it should not be deducted from the driver's pay. Okay, the passengers should pay.
Right.
They're saying, okay, look, the passengers ultimately should pay all of these surcharges, but we knew from the beginning that that basically, you know, they're going to look at it as part of the fare and take it out of the tip, or, you know, the drivers are paying it, okay?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Well,
you,
I'll tell you, it's interesting to hear you say that, because when the whole Uber thing started, I remember when the taxi commission initially did want to cap Uber, and then they found a few Uber drivers to get up and say, no, we don't want the cap, we don't have this. Hey, listen, genius, if you cap the Uber medallions or cap the FHV medallions, you're going to make more money because there'll be less competition. So I guess these guys must have just been like babies, where they knew nothing.
It's the corporation, the Uber corporation, that doesn't care about the drivers making money. They only care about how much money they can take in. And the more cars they have out there, the more money they'll take in, because they're taking money from every car. It's a pyramid scheme.
Right.
Okay? Those on the bottom get the least, and those on the top get the most. Okay?
Right. Well, that's disgusting, because meanwhile, they're laughing all the way to the bank. And you have cabbies right now across the board, yellow cab, green cab, Uber drivers. You had drivers who are literally making below the new minimum wage. I mean, you have drivers now, because there's so much competition, they're making less than minimum wage driving cabs. And the people helping the people in wheelchairs, they're making less money than the regular drivers, because there's an extra step for them to do to pick these people up, and they're not being properly compensated for it. So it's a complete mess, courtesy of de Blasio and Chairperson Nosy, as I call it, because you know, some of the great quotes in history. One of her quotes in front of the city council, I'll never forget. It's they were asking her some questions. She goes, "Well, you know, there's nothing I can do." That's her. That's all I will remember as her quote. There's nothing I can do, and I think that's the telling quote of her
says that she doesn't want to do anything, okay? Because there's always something you can do, okay?
Right.
You know, if you feel strong enough about something, you'll find something you can do, such as we are in doing this Mike and Abe show, you know?
I'm glad we are. Yeah. 'Cause this little show here on the internet, let me tell you something, kid, you're not wasting your time, because I talk to people on the street. They said, "Hey, I heard you on the radio," and you know, I'm thinking, because I was on Taxi Dave a few times with my JFK mic routine. I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "No, on the internet show." So, on the internet show. So we have more and more people checking in to hear our internet radio show, which is huge news. And we, like I said, you can see the hit counter on the bottom. We have a steady crew of people listening to our show. And right now, I mean, Taxi Dave is on the air on Sunday night. This week, and like I said, he's trying to negotiate a new deal with the station, and that was the number one show, and it's up to us to keep the ball rolling, because right now we there's a chance we might be the only store in town.
I would welcome as many talk shows as possible to talk about this taxi situation, because the more we talk, the better off we are. Okay.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're doing the best we can, and others should help. Okay, I have no problem with that. Okay, let me just change the subject here.
That's the whole goal.
What other subject do you have today, Mike? Do you have anything else?
Let's see. We did Happy Holidays. We did the wheelchair thing. I just want to give a shout out. I mean, just real quick. I mean, it's a little stepping out of our pay scale here, but I want to tell all the cabbies, please watch your step with the Christmas parties. You got a lot of people who've had too much to drink hopping in yellow cabs, and believe it or not, a lot of Uber people hopping in yellow cabs because they're afraid to take Uber cars when they drink. Now, legally, yellow cabbies don't have to take people who are visibly intoxicated. That's in the rule book.
Right.
But the Uber people are afraid to take Uber because they don't want their precious star rating to be affected, or they don't want their friend to puke in an Uber car and get $200 put on their credit card. So they come knocking on the cab window. People who never take cabs anymore, now they come crawling back to us drunk. But you got to be careful, especially all this sexual harassment stuff in the news, that if a woman gets in your cab or a guy gets in your cab and they're a little tipsy, just be very careful, because you don't want to get in a trouble with putting your hands on someone to help them out of the cab. Because that's another thing. If someone's had too much to drink, I would just say, listen, there might be a point where you have to call the police or call the ambulance, because the absolute last thing you want to do is put your hands on anybody who is semi-conscious in the back of your cab. Then you wake up the next morning and you got a big mess on your hand from anything from my wallet is gone or my phone is gone and the cab driver grabbed me. So just think this through and realize that be careful who you let in your cab, because legally, in the TLC rulebook, if the person is visibly intoxicated, you do not legally have to pick them up.
Let me just say this. Unfortunately, it's hard to tell until they get in the car. Okay?
Sometimes
you can tell. I mean, if they're really, really, drunk out of their minds, you could tell. But sometimes they just tail the cab. They jump in the back, and then they get in. They go, where am I going? Take me home. Where would that be? I don't know. It's on the Upper East Side somewhere, or I'm looking for my car. I parked my car somewhere, and I don't remember where I parked it. And all right. But let me just get off that subject, okay? Let me move to an article that was in Cranes this week. Okay, uh-huh. More taxi medallions going on the block. Okay.
Okay.
Aspire Federal Credit Union will start the bidding at $150,000, which is 10% of what it was selling for 4 years ago. Okay.
Now, what credit union was this?
Aspire, ASPIRE. I never heard of them, but evidently they have they've made some medallion loans, and they have foreclosed on some, I guess, and now they are auctioning off 14 medallions. Uh-huh. 14 medallions on January 16th at the offices of Wendell Marks, which is our friend Matthew Dowse. Is
that interesting? Okay, so this is interesting, because here's the guy who was one of the geniuses of the Taxi Commission medallion auction process.
Mm-hmm.
And when Matt Doss was running the show, you had first-generation immigrants who bought a medallion and bought houses and sent their kids to college, all from driving a cab under Matthew Doss's regime. Okay?
Right.
Now, since he's been gone, we've had two losers, in my opinion. You've had Yasky, who was a Bloomberg whatever.
He was a...
And you have... Chairperson Nokia.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say how much I love David Yasky. Okay? It's somewhere between zero and a million, but closer to zero. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like an abscess. It's like an abscess that won't go away.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, this auction is going to take place on January 16th, and they're going to start the bidding at $150,000, and see where it goes. Okay. So everybody's watching this. Okay. You can find the article on NYC Taxi News in the news section. Okay. The title of the article is "More Medallions Go on the Block," okay? From Cranes. At long last, New York's taxi industry may be about to find out how much a taxi medallion is worth in the Uber age, okay? I'm just going to read a little bit.
With Matthew Doss, I'm not saying anything disparaging against the other auctions, but some of the other auctions. Maybe they tried to do the right thing, but the medallions, I think, in a few of these previous auctions, they were just withdrawn because of low bids. So now you're actually, we have to see if we can get Matt Doss on the show.
Matt,
the guy who should talk to us.
Matt Doss has always been and still is a friend of the yellow taxi industry, okay?
Right.
Okay. And he's quoted here as saying, "We believe it's going to go way above that," meaning way above the $150,000. Okay. said Matthew Dowse, a former TLC chairman whose law firm Wendell's Marks will be hosting the auction in its Midtown office. Okay, so anyway, anybody out there interested in this auction, get in touch with them. Okay? So
it'll be interesting to hear. See, this is the guy who knows the TLC rules like the back of his hand. I mean, he wrote some of the TLC rules.
No, he was TLC chairman for, I think, 12 years. Okay.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
He had some bumps in the road like everything else.
I know.
Like every cab is going to have, and every cabbie is going to endure some bumps in the road. I mean, he did do a couple of things that, you know, obviously we would take issue with. But all in all, he did a great job. I mean, you had first-generation cabbies coming in with they didn't have two nickels to rub together in their pocket, getting off the plane at Kennedy Airport. And they wound up owning a medallion that went from, let's say, $200,000 to $800,000 to a million. These are first-generation people, and all this rah-rah about we have to help the immigrants. There you go. You had a guy like Matt Doss running the TLC, helping the cabbies through hard work and perseverance get houses and be able to put their kids in school. And now all that has gone up down the road or gone down the drain because of these some geeks from the West Coast who shouldn't even been let into the city at all, in my opinion, and just screwed up a very lucrative thing.
Yeah.
We had a whole chain of command. You had people selling cars, you had cabbies buying houses, you had kids going into private school, you had an economic base, which was, I mean, the value of the taxi business at one point, just the yellow cab business, was about $15 billion. $15 billion with medallions and cars and everything else. And everybody in there was making money. I mean, dollar for dollar. The cabbies back then were doing very well. And it got all screwed up. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of blame to go around, like you said. We can't keep demonizing the city. I blame some of some people in this business for not watching the store. Some people who we trusted that thought we were a lot more competent than they really were. And unfortunately found out that was not the case the hard way. So, like I said, $10 billion later, we realize there are a lot of people who like to get up on a pedestal and say how wonderful they are that may not have known what the hell they were doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's my opinion. What do I know? Just win money's opinion, right?
Well, you're entitled to your opinion. It's okay.
I'm entitled to my opinion.
Yeah, we all are.
And sometimes...
Mm-hmm.
I'm entitled to my opinion, and sometimes I give anybody who wants to agree with us or disagree with us, is feel free to contact us. And you can contact the show on the website, on your little website that could. What's the contact for the show?
Just NYC, NYC Taxi News at AOL.com. Okay, or you go to the...
Right.
Go
and let's rattle up. So let's
go to the... Yes? Hold on. Go to the page for the radio show. Okay, the link is on the front page in the upper left-hand corner. Currently, it's there.
Right.
Okay, and there's a link to contact the Mike and Abe Show. Okay.
Very good.
All right.
Okay, that makes me feel better now.
Yeah, and we do get contacted. Okay, we got contacted a few times in the last couple of weeks, like, where's the show? When we didn't have it on.
Right.
All right, so they are looking forward to listening. All right. And I had a gentleman this morning send me an email. It was from Contact the Mike and Abe Show, and he said, where is the show? And I said to him, if you're sending me this email, you're on the page for the show. And he said, I don't see it on iTunes. And I said, well, you know, you can get...
iTunes.
We're not on iTunes. Nor do I want to explore being on iTunes, because anybody with a smartphone, you know, can listen to this show by clicking on the smartphone link, which is on the page.
Uh-huh.
Okay? All right?
Oh, so, there you go. That's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not that complicated. I don't have to be on iTunes. I don't need to bring a multi-zillion-dollar corporation into this, which would be Apple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay? All right?
Right.
I don't need I don't need to,
you know,
conform to their policies. All right? This is my website.
Yeah, I like it.
Right. This is my website. I created it. It's our website. It's everybody's website who's for the taxi industry. You know, you could contact me and give me your ideas and opinions, and if I feel that they're worthwhile, I'll go with it. Okay?
Let me just say something about the taxi business. It's the business for the yellow cab driving a cab last night was booming, and I got it. It just Uber schmoober, and I'm starting to see a lot more people are shopping now. I mean, when Uber first came out, boom, everybody was taking Uber because it was the new sexy hot thing to do.
Right.
Being hot anymore, it's kind of like starting to get a little stale. And the people are coming back, and it was a little bit of a head slap for the industry, because I think some of these people were spoiled for too long, and now there was a better appreciation of the passenger for the cabbie, and a better appreciation of the fleet owners for their customers, where they realize these cabbies will walk away if they don't get treated right. And Abe, you've always treated the cabbies that drove your cab very well, and I've heard that from your buddy Ton, and you're hearing it from me. And you've always been of the mindset, and our friend in the city who I'm working for now, you've always been of the mindset you want your driver to make money, because then you know it's going to come into your pocket too.
If my driver makes money, I know that I'm making money, and I know that I'm going to keep him.
Well, let me just say one last thing on the Wendell Marks auction at Matt Dallas's firm. It's exciting. I mean, in the first way, it's exciting for all the wrong reasons, because it's a low price, $150. We're going to see how much they get. But at the same time, you finally, I think for the first time in a long time, we're going to have an auction where once and for all we can put aside a lot of the BS and have a floor price of saying, okay, here we are right now. What are we going to do? Okay, because if you're a cabbie and you can get a medallion that checks out and it's, you know, you can work with it. If you're in New York City, you can get into business with a cab for $150,000. That doesn't sound too bad. I got to be honest with you. That means I don't know what the note would be, but I don't know what the deposit would be. But there might be, as they say, some there, because there is business on the street. And if this taxi medallion thing comes back, you might. I mean, that's what happened the last time. That's why people made millions of dollars, because they bought low and sold high. And that's the name of the game.
Mike, I have my eyes right now on the Times Square webcam, and I'm seeing more yellow cabs on the street than I've seen in the last 2 years.
Thank God. Thank God.
Okay,
that's the Christmas present to us.
Yes. Here. So you know, let's hope that auction goes well, and they bid at least $500,000-$600,000 for these medallions, because that's really what they're worth. Okay.
Right. And I'll tell you something else, Abe. It's about time good old Mike and Abe, it's a good old time Mike and Abe and our legions of fans and our great sponsors start taking some ownership for being responsible for bringing this industry back. Because we've been subjected to all these people wah-wah-wahing around and all this mumbo-jumbo. And you especially slapped this website together to fight back and help the industry. So everybody's saying what they did, no. Let's say what we did. Dollar for dollar, we have been the best investment in bringing this business back in the last couple of years than anybody, dollar for dollar. And I would debate that till my last breath. And I think we should start getting more credit. And I'm going to, with my big mouth, say it right here, that we are going to start taking credit. Even if we have to say it ourselves to take credit. We don't need someone to give us credit. We're going to take credit. Seize the day. What is it? Sharpe diem or carpe diem or whatever it is. But anyway, we deserve a lot of credit for bringing this business back. Now let's talk about some of the sponsors we got that helped us do this.
Oh, our sponsors, yes.
Yes.
And I heard from one of our sponsors, Glenn Kessler. He's a bankruptcy lawyer. He told me he's gotten contacted by a few people since he put his ad up. Okay.
Okay.
And you can call Glenn at 718-488-9100. Along with Peter Joseph, right. Another bankruptcy lawyer, if you have any trouble, you know, with creditors, okay? And Peter's number is 212-924-1498, okay?
And you got another great professional person. He's an accountant right underneath, right?
Yeah, Tony Tax. The time is here, folks. January 1st, tax time, okay? Tony Tax will come to you. He's a great accountant. Okay. 718-413-6126. And, you know, tell him you've seen him on the NYC Taxi News. Okay. And he'll
and
come
I like
to
the
you.
Fact that you have these guys. I like that you have these guys, the professional people on the front page. Like I said, like lions at the gates. protecting the industry from the evildoers.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to the professional people for helping the website. Who else we got? We got some more taxi professional people running cabs. We got the 718-729-7777.
That's WB. The MTBOT gives free defensive driving and wave training courses, online TLC application and renewal processing, mm-hmm. all free. Free legal representation at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic and Criminal Court, and free experienced MTB staff members to work directly with the drivers, whatever your problems may be. Okay? And mm-hmm. their phone number is 718-784-4343. Ask for Kanchan Das. Okay?
Buy your next gift to Checker. Checker is located at 11th Street and 38th Avenue in Long Island City. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. That's 718-361-6300. They have a brand new facility over there.
Mm-hmm.
They have vans. They have Camrys. They have a few Priuses running around. And it's a great place to work. So if you want to check out Checker, give them a call at 718-361-6300. They got weekly deals. So you cabbies that are sick and tired of going back to the garage or dealing with, you know, cabs willy-dilly, you can get a great weekly lease cab where you can just bring the car home yourself, which is great if a cabbie lives in the middle of nowhere, which some of them do. I have no clue how these cabbies find these places where they live. But anyway, you can go check out Checker. They're at 718-361-6300, and their shop is at 38th Avenue and 11th Street in Long Island City. And they're also going to start maybe doing some outside work. So if you have a cab in general, needs some repair or some body work, you can jump in there, ask for Mike or one of the mechanics, and they do great work because they, you know, they bring their own cabs to TLC inspections right and left. So they know these cars, fix them every day. So that's a pretty exciting thing they're talking about doing is expanding that. So anyway, check out Checker, 361-6300. Hey, what else you got?
Well, we mentioned WB, and I just want to say that WB Taxi at 3511 43rd Avenue, 718-729-7777. All of their rates are listed here on the front page of NYC Taxi News. And Florin right. is the man to talk to, or somebody else there, but mm-hmm. they're all good people and mm-hmm. Very conveniently located right off the 7 train.
Okay?
We have Lacus out there in Brooklyn, okay? They're experimenting with leaving cars where you live and using an app to find the taxi to drive, okay?
Right.
You can work as many hours as you want, whenever you want, and pay a commission mm-hmm. on the driving, okay? And you can call them.
I think
them.
It's a great idea. Great.
Yeah, you can call them. Mm-hmm. They're out in Brooklyn. It's NYC Taxi Group, 718-253-3501. Okay?
Okay.
And
their app is structured on the model where you can just drive a few hours here and there. So you can use your app to find where one of their cars are, jump in for a few hours, like 4 or 5 hours, and then leave the car for the next driver. And the next driver with the app apparently can pick up that car and work whatever that driver wants. So they're trying to do something innovative, and I'm rooting for them on this because not everybody wants to drive 12 hours. Not everybody wants to drive a lot. So if you have some older drivers who just want to pick up a few bucks and want to work like 4 or 5 hours, the new Lacus app is revolutionary, and we're going to be very interested. I'm going to call this guy this week to find out how he's doing with that, by the way. So, all right, who else we got?
That's it. Yeah, that covers
it. We got to get more people on the site.
Well, you know, if you want to advertise at NYC Taxi News, drop us an mm-hmm. email, nyctaxinews@aol.com, or you can mm-hmm. even leave us a message, call 516-447-0953, okay?
Right.
And, mm-hmm. Mike, I'm just looking at the bottom of the page here, and we're getting very close to 300,000 visits on the website.
Wow. That's
okay.
Amazing.
300,000. That's a third of a million. Okay.
Right.
And most mm-hmm. of it's been within the last year and a half. Okay.
And this is not trust me, this is not a computer slave nest with three people chained to a radiator in the business constantly clicking and searching our website. These, for the most part, are unique people who have come of their own free will to visit our website. So we have a legitimate audience. We have a core response. And it's not the point-and-click trolls in boxer shorts living in their mother's basement. It's real people checking in. So we're very proud of that.
All right, Mike, so let's wrap this up. Taxi Dave is on his second last show ever.
Maybe. We'll see what Taxi Dave has cooking. He's been crying he's been crying to from the mountaintop about getting advertisers for his mainstream radio show on WOR. And I wish him well, because, I mean, not only because I'm on the show as a guest sometimes, but this is stuff we have to do. We have to get on the air on mainstream radio. And it's a number one show. It's insane that show doesn't have a lot more advertisers than it does. And I'm going to start asking some questions about why that is the case, because it makes no sense why certain members of the industry haven't put big ads on that show yet, especially the people who have the resources to do so. So we're going to find out why that's the case.
Are you going to be on the show tonight, Mike? But
I'm 99% yes. You know, like I said, I'm driving, so I'm going to try and get down there. Yeah. I mean, last time I tried to get down there with the cab, Canal Street was a complete mosh pit. So I'm on board with doing that. Last time I parked the cab uptown, I took a city bike. I rode the bicycle down to the studio.
Okay.
So, you know, if I have to, I will. So anyway, we're going to get going with that. Abe, it's been a great show.
Okay, you take a yellow taxi instead of a city bike, okay? it's much safer, all right?
Yeah, the city bike is a little bit easier to navigate through through De Blasio traffic.
Okay, you know? All right. What else, Mike?
Well, we'll take care.
That's it, okay?
That's it. We're going to see you next week. We're going to be on the air every week, so we'll see you next week.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody, and have a good week. And hopefully we'll be here. If we're not here, if you don't see our show come on Sunday and we're not here, just keep one thing in mind. We're trying to get here.
Wow. Okay, we'll be here. Don't worry. Listen, we'll be here for Christmas, just like Santa Claus.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Good night, New York.